people come and go, and we welcome them, or we are ourselves the ones coming and going. But have you ever thought about the impact, actually, that those 3 years can have? Just to kind of narrow down your life into one narrow little window and say, these 3 years, what can my life do? Who can I impact? How can I be impacted? What does it look like in a 3 year window? What's interesting today that Paul is actually going to give us that one glimpse of his life of 3 years, which actually fits well with our community. It helps us to see that there is something we can do if we're intentional, and it's lived in a life of integrity. So I titled today, Living and Leaving with Integrity, and it's actually in this three-year window of Paul's life. And since it fits so well here, I think it actually fits in the season of life, as well as we're in this time now of saying goodbye to some people and looking forward to what God has in this next year. But living and leaving with integrity. It's in Acts chapter 20 where we find ourselves today. Let's pray. Father God, we come to your word today, the living word. Words that you have kept preserved throughout the ages so that we can understand something more of you, that we can come to this moment of belief, this moment of change. So we ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you speak through these living words that are on the page in front of us, that we might be changed, that our lives might be impacted by this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. A three-year cycle, what does it look like to be normal? Or to put it in the context of Paul here, Acts chapter 20, we're going to read the first few verses and then skip to 18. After a few disturbances there in Ephesus had ended, Paul sent for his disciples, and after encouraging them and saying farewell, he left to go to
Macedonia.
And he gone through the regions and spoken many words of encouragement to the believers there. He came to Greece, where he stayed for a few months. And then it talks about his disciples that he gathered, and he makes this return trip. We're going to pick it up again in verse 17. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus. So he's returning there after this little tour, telling the elders of the church to come to him. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, and with trials that happened to me because of the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not hold back from proclaiming to you anything that would be helpful, and from teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying to both the Jews and the Greeks about the repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem without knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonment and persecution are waiting for me. But I do not consider my life worthy of anything to myself, so that I may finish my task in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I went around proclaiming the kingdom will see me again. And therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not hold back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. Watch out for yourselves and for all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his Son. I know that after I am gone, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own group, men will arise, teaching perversions of the truth, to draw the disciples away after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years, I did not stop warning you, each of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to this message of his grace. This message is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I desired no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine provided for my needs and the needs of those who were with me. By all these things, I have shown you that by working in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down with them all and prayed, and they all began to weep loudly and hugged Paul and kissed him, especially saddened by what he had said, that they were not going to see him again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. And it says, we tore ourselves away from them as we put out to sea and sailed away. For 3 years, Paul invested his life in this group of people, these disciples, these leaders here in the city of Ephesus. 3 years that left an impact both on Paul and on the people that he had been living with. So today's message, living and leading with integrity. And I think we're putting this leaving a certain setting into the context, or somebody leaving us, helps us to evaluate whether we are actually living the moment with integrity. Because Paul says, you saw me day after day, night after night, in public settings and home to home, so that you could make an evaluation whether or not I live with integrity. So coming to the end of a time period and stopping and with perspective, looking back and saying, did I live with integrity or did this person live with integrity, helps us to know whether in the moment we are living with integrity. So Paul faithfully lived the whole time that he was with him. Zach, the first slide there? Faithfully lived, yes. Faithfulness in the moment, faithfulness in living. In verses 18 to 19, as Paul is starting off this message, this speech, this sharing of his heart, he says, you yourselves know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Now, if you stop and look at your own life and say, if somebody was watching me the whole time, day in and day out for 3 years, what kind of perspective are they going to get on my life? Paul says that he served the Lord in front of them. So his life was focused on this aspect of serving the Lord. It was all he was doing. Now, by saying all that he was doing in serving the Lord, it's not just that he was studying the Word of God and preaching it, because he actually was working, he says. Remember, as he was talking through there, he says, I cared for my own needs and the needs of others. Paul was actually actively working, financially providing for himself, as he was faithfully teaching the Word. So this is all of life Paul is talking about. The day-to-day ministry and the day-to-day work combined into such an effect that people were saying, wow, Paul is an example of living all of life, all the time, with integrity. It says that he did it day and night. So there's times when Paul slept, of course, but people were in his life. This is the Macedonian culture that people can knock on your door at 9 o'clock at night and say, hey, I'm here for a cup of coffee. And you say, welcome in, don't you? Had any guests like that recently? Milka has, okay.
Come later.
I'm supposed to come. All right. So this is part of the culture of Macedonia, people coming and going all times of the day, sometimes with an announcement, sometimes advanced, and sometimes just showing up. Paul lived this way amongst the people here in Ephesus. His life was open. It was available to people to be a part of what he was doing. He served the Lord day and night with integrity. Paul specifically says in here that he was, by all these things, that he has shown them how to live a life of integrity. It was very practical for him. And he lays out what that practicality looks like by saying, I worked amongst you so that you would know that it's good to work. He says here in verse 32 that, in verses 33, I desire no one's silver or gold because I provided for my own needs so that, it says here, you can remember the words of the Lord. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This is very practical for Paul. As Paul was living this life of integrity, he says, one way this looks like in my life is that I care for those around me. Generosity. Not coveting, not wanting what other people have, providing for himself, but then giving freely of what God has given to him to those that were in need. So living a life is preaching the gospel, and living a life is giving what God has given to us to those that are in need. So helping those, specifically helping the weak and giving to those. And Paul gave them through this his time, his energy, 3 years of his life to these people in Ephesus. And in this giving, if Paul says, I lived among you and now I'm going, and I don't even know what's going to happen other than I'm not going to see you again. So part of Paul's faithfulness in living is also recognizing that the next step in his life was unclear, but it involved suffering, and it involved saying a final goodbye to those that were with him. So if you were to say, today, I'm closing a chapter in my life and I'm looking forward to the next chapter, saying, okay, God has called me to this next step, I don't know what it is, but I'm saying goodbye. How do people see that in your life? Paul said, I'm doing this step knowing that I'm being faithful to God. I'm doing this step, not knowing, except it's going to be difficult, but I'm doing it to be faithful. He's giving testimony to the future, saying, God is leading me to this. And so if we stop and reflect on how much of the future we know, not very much, my brother says, no. We don't know much about the future, but if we were to stop and say, it's going to be difficult, if we knew right now going into it, it's going to be hard, it's going to involve suffering, possibly your own death, would you still step faithfully into that? Paul says, I'm going because even though it's clear to me I will suffer, the Holy Spirit is leading me into this for His glory, to advance His kingdom, for people to know about His Son, Jesus. To receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify this good news of God's grace. The future doesn't have to be clear as it was for Paul as we take this next step. But if we're knowing that we're going to testify to God's grace in this next step of life, He's going to give us the strength to go into it. So Paul is living his life, he's lived these three lives, and now as he's taking this next step in the future, he's saying, I know it's going to be hard, I know it's going to be difficult, but I'm stepping into it. Follow my example into this. Paul lived his life, especially in this moment of leaning, with the clarity that God was with him. Another thing in this chapter that I want to point out is that Paul faithfully communicated the whole purpose of God. This is in verse 27. He very clearly says, and I like it that these words jump out, holy. Holy communicated the whole purpose of God. Verse 27 says, for I did not hold back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. And you might say, okay, he had 3 years to announce the whole purpose. Does that mean, not like here at ICF where we spend the 1 year covering the book of Acts, and 1 year covering the book of Luke, and before that we did the book of Hebrews? I think it's Hebrews. Yeah. All right, so in 3 years, did we cover the whole Bible? No. But did we cover the whole purpose of God? We do that every week, I hope. And Paul actually summarizes what he means by that whole purpose of God when he says, I did not hold anything back from proclaiming to you, testifying, and this here is in verse 20, hold anything back that would be helpful from teaching you, testifying to both the Jews and the Greeks that, about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus, verse 21. So the two things that Paul includes in this, teaching the whole proclamation of God, is repentance to God and faith in Jesus. We can boil down our faith, our understanding of God's word, to these two points. To recognize that we need to repent. It's my sin that causes the separation from God, and faith in Jesus that I am restored to Him. Paul says, I taught this for 3 years. The whole gospel, the whole purpose of God, I shared with you so that you could know it, that you could explain it. Now, sometimes it takes more work as you go through the Old Testament finding that thread of how this points to Jesus. And sometimes in the New Testament, it's difficult to say, man, these are hard words, but it can be simply pulled down to those two points. I need to repent, and I need to believe. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus. And in this message, Paul is also, right here in the same context, adding this one more little point by experience and by example where he says, and now being compelled by the Spirit. There's this element throughout the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit is alive and working in His people. It's the Holy Spirit who's led the apostles to where they've gone. It's the Holy Spirit who's giving gifts so they can build His church. And so as we recognize that we need to repent and have faith, Paul, by experience and by example, is saying, and now being led by the Spirit. So even in his own words, Paul is saying the Holy Spirit is integral to this next step in life, in what we are doing, what He has called us to do. We need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. We need the Holy Spirit. This life that we're called to live, we can't do in our own strength. We can't do it just you and I thinking, okay, today I'm just going to put my gut into it, strength into it, and no, this is not something we do in physical strength. This life that God has called us to live is only enabled because His Holy Spirit has given us the gifts and the power to do it. Because the Holy Spirit enables us day by day to have His strength, to have His joy, to take that step into persecution or the step into the unknown, knowing God is with us and that he is drawing us out. Paul faithfully communicated the whole purpose of God. Not only did he communicate it, but he trusted this purpose. It says in verse 32 that Paul, I now entrust you to God and to this message of grace, this message that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. The truth, this word of God that Paul has been preaching and teaching, he puts it into the context that this word protects us. This word helps us to stay faithful. This word gives us the foundation our lives need to have. He trusts God's word to keep working in people's lives. But he puts it also into the context of an inheritance. We're excited, right? We know we have an inheritance that's waiting for us in heaven. But this inheritance here is tied to the community of believers. Somehow, in what God is doing, this inheritance is now tangibly noticed and felt and experienced by being in community with other believers, among all of those who are being made pure, who are being sanctified or made by, like God. Somehow, right here in this group, and in the group that Paul was talking to, he was saying, your experience of God, your knowing of him, your knowing of the whole purpose of God is realized by sharing your life with one another, of them knowing you and you knowing them, and seeing how God is at work. We draw one another towards this truth. And finally, in this section here, as we're living and leading our lives with integrity, Paul was faithful to love with his whole heart. He faithfully loved those that were around him. Three times in this chapter, the tears are mentioned. Paul says, with night and day, with tears, I poured out myself. He says, with tears, he was praying for them and working with them. And then as he was finishing and he prayed with them, tears once again overflowed amongst all the people saying goodbye. There's a very real sense where Paul not just shared information with people. He gave himself completely. He loved them. He let them into his life and he entered into their lives and they shared what God was doing in the good times and the bads. He says, you saw me when I was in difficulty because people were having plots and working against me. We know some of those experiences from previous chapters, but Paul says, you know the difficulties I went through, which means they were part of his life. They saw into what he was going through. They were a part of all that he was doing here. So he was emotionally connected, relationally tied. He was united with them in what God was doing there. And this required huge intentionality on his part. This is already his third journey. He's already traveled many places. He knows believers in lots of different places. But in these 3 years, he was intentionally investing himself, letting them see his life, so that later on he could say, what you've seen in me, which I've seen in Christ, I want you to do as well. They saw enough of his life and who he was to say, Christ was present in Paul. And we can be like Paul because Paul is like Christ. Intentionality. Going forward. So what does it look like if this is Paul and living and working and loving the people in Ephesus? What does it look like for us today to say that we are living and leading with integrity? Where would you say you want to be at the end of this time frame? I'll put this in the context of some that have been here for 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 years. Some of you have been here the whole time. But you're faced with these same issues of people coming and going because this is a community of people that come and go. And some of you are those that actually come for 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years, and then you know you're leaving. There's a time frame on what you know you're going to be here, how long you're going to be here in Macedonia. But where do you want to be at the end of this time? Whether it's the end of the relationship because other people are going or the end of the relationship because you yourself are moving on. Where do you want to find yourself relationally with others? I think no matter where we go and what we're doing, we want to say we want to faithfully live. Zach? Living and leading with integrity, each one of us are called to faithfully live. Paul in his travels was faithfully living for these whole 3 years. But for us, to have this integrity of life and belief, of work and faith. Integrity that says, I am consistent no matter where I am, with who I am, what I am doing. But in order for integrity to have any meaning, people need to know you and see you. So I ask today, who is in your life that is aware of the ups and the downs? Who's in your life to know the struggles that you are having? When was the last time you cried with somebody here in this community of believers and said, this is a hard time? When was the last time you were able to call up a friend and say, you can't believe this great thing that just happened to me? This is what it means to have this integrity of life and belief, where people can see your day-to-day, your example. And even, as Paul was saying here, you care for others. How do you demonstrate to the weak? How do you demonstrate to those that are needy Christ's amazing love for them? Do you have that woven into your life so that people could say after 3 years of just knowing you, yeah, this person cares for the needy in this way. Or this person cares for those that are weak in this way. Do you have those examples ready in your own mind, say you're intentionally giving and sharing with people? And is it something that others see in you, that you invite them along the journey with you to be a part of and to join them in what they are doing? Integrity of life and belief. This is that first point of faithfully living, living a life of integrity. And tied in this is our expectations or our hope for the future. With transition in mind, can we say God is in control? Not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, can we share with those around us and say, God is calling me to something, and maybe it's going to hurt. Maybe it's going to be good. Maybe we will find God in this. Paul was very intentional here, saying, I'm never going to see you again. But God is leading me forward. He took that step of faith. I think as we look at our lives, and maybe it's as we let go of people around us who they are going to the next place, to say, God has something in store for them. So faithfully living the moment so that we can also say, I will trust God faithfully tomorrow and the next day. How about faithfully communicate? Each one of us is called to share what God has done in our lives. Now in this passage here, Paul's talking to the elders and the leaders in this church of Ephesus, the people who are leading the flock, the congregation, the church. And yet each one of us is called to faithfully pass on what God has given to us. So can you easily share what it is that the whole gospel is composed of, the whole of God's word? There's 2 points. Repentance towards God and?
Trust.
Trust, faith, living it out towards with Jesus. Those are the 2 points. So how do we weave that into our day-to-day experience of being with kids at school or being at the job with our coworkers? How do we weave in repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ? And then as people see us and get to know us, actually to see us being led by the Spirit. Intentionally, faithfully communicating. The warning that Paul gave in this passage was that there's going to come people who are false teachers. And the mark of a false teacher, according to this passage, is that they draw people towards themselves rather than to the gospel. Paul's already made it clear in a previous chapter and when he talked about the Corinth, people in Corinth. He said, why are you focusing on me? Why are you focusing on Apollos? All of us are just faithful servants because it's God that gives the fruit. Focus on God. Yes, follow my example, but our focus is on Christ. So we're hearing people around us teaching and drawing us to them as a person, saying this person is the one that's important. Watch out. What we're supposed to be drawn towards is this truth, this word of God, not to the individuals. We follow examples, we learn from one another, but our focus and our draw is always towards Jesus, to the cross, where the Holy Spirit guides us. Faithfully, intentionally communicate the gospel. And finally, faithfully love. Paul was intentional with this group of believers and along the way to open his life and let people in. In this season right now, we're in June already, which means school is close to being done. Transition times happen. People are coming soon and some people are going. In this time of transition, do you have the ability to let people into your life? If you've been in ICS for any number of years, longer than 3 years, you've done this each summer. You've let people in, and then you know they're going to leave. And it's a choice to say, God, let my life be available to anybody that's coming, despite the tears that are going to come. So I think it's important that we see the emotional content here, what Paul is talking about. He gave his life, his emotional energy, his intentionality to love these people. And they returned it. They loved him. They shed their tears for Paul as he was coming and going. This faithfulness to love, to choose to let people into our life, is a mark of this church. It's what we do, it's what we have to do, it's what we want to do, is we invite people in. But it really is a choice to say, people are welcome into my life each year, so that the gospel can be seen, both in us and in them. Faithfully love. So we're called to faithfully live our lives, to faithfully communicate the gospel, and to faithfully love those around us. And in this chapter, as Paul is kind of pouring out his heart to this group of people, we remember that this is written by the same author that wrote the book of Luke. And we have this amazing parallel where Jesus, as he was preparing to go to the cross, was recognizing that his life was coming to his end. He was telling his disciples, listen, I've lived these three and a half years with you. You've watched my example. And now there's something coming that's going to be really hard. I'm going to give my life for you. But I'm being led to this point. And now you love one another. The author of this book, same one, Luke and Acts, is drawing an amazing parallel with Paul himself, saying, look, Paul is being like Christ. He knows what's set before him, the pain that he has to endure to get there. But for you, recognize that this is about the kingdom of God and building God's kingdom. Because even in this passage here, I didn't read the verses, but earlier on here, Paul says he was visiting on the first day of the week, they broke bread together, and then he started preaching to them all night long. We don't do that too often, the preaching, but we do break bread together. Because we're reminded that all of what we do is be reminded that Christ died on the cross for us, and that he comes again. So this morning we get to celebrate the Lord's table, the breaking of bread, where we remember that Christ died in our place. This gospel, this good news of repentance towards God and faith in Jesus is right here at this table represented once again. This table unites us. This table tells us that despite the differences of our backgrounds, of our different religious traditions, we are united in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul's life was lived to advance the kingdom of God, to advance God's purposes. And our purpose as a church is to do the same, to advance the kingdom. So as I challenge you not only to live your life and leave with integrity, today we're called to join together in unity as we celebrate this table. Would you stand and join me as we read the Nicene Creed? This is a chance that we have to unite ourselves as we say, this I believe. And if you can read through this with us and believe the words that we're going to be sharing here, then you're welcome to join us at the Lord's table in just a moment. Let's read together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried.
He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
After I pray, I'll invite you to come forward, take a piece of the bread and dip it into the wine or the juice, depending on which you want to take, and then to return to your seats. I'll ask you to come down the outside aisle on this side here, and then return through the center or the far aisle. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your presence this morning awed and amazed at this privilege we have to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. We come this morning to this table as before us to be reminded once again that our Savior died for us. So this morning we confess our sins. We confess that we have sinned by turning away from you and towards ourselves, that we have lived selfish and independent lives. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. And we this morning trust that Jesus Christ's salvation, sacrifice on the cross brings us salvation.
Yes.
We recognize that only through his blood are we cleansed, are we purified, are we made whole and right before you, the living God.
Hallelujah.
So we come this morning and we take and we're reminded not only that you have died and risen again, but that one day soon you are returning, Lord Jesus. And we invite you and we ask you to come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
your brother Christ is upset for you to have this conversation.
Please dance.